Good morning. It's good to see you all on this day of resurrection. Our God, indeed, when we are not paying attention, often has many surprises for us, things that are unexpected. I'm going to read to us our passage for this morning. It's out of Ephesians 1, starting at verse 11. And so listen for God's word to you. I'll pray when I'm done reading the passage, and we'll hear what God has for us on this resurrection day. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. And for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above every ruler and every authority and every power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord. Let me pray for us. Gracious God, on this day of amazing events, Lord, we stand in awe of you and we give thanks. And we ask that your spirit would be working amongst us in our hearts as we hear your word proclaimed. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Do you know what real power looks like? Have you ever experienced something really, really powerful in your life? I was thinking about that this week as I was getting ready for Sunday. And I was thinking about when I was 11, a friend of mine invited me to sail on a sailboat with he and his family out of Long Beach, California, not too far from where I'd grown up. And while I'd been near the ocean my entire life and gone swimming and boarding in pretty heavy surf and seen coastal storms and even lightning storms out over the water a couple times in my life, I had never seen the real power of the ocean until that day. We'd been out for sea for about 5 hours when my friend's dad decided to take us out past the breakwater in the bay, in the harbor there. And all of a sudden, a few hours into that, the weather started to change and the seas got really rough on our way back in. A kind of unanticipated weather change had happened, and we were stuck in swells that, at least to me, looked massive. My friend's dad didn't panic, and we were all pretty safe, I think, but it was definitely way more than I had expected. My folks drove down to the harbor to wait for us to get back in when they saw the change in the weather, because they were concerned. A display of power. There was another time in my life where I saw the display of power in the courtroom. When a student of mine some years ago ended up in a charge in the court for something that they had done. And we both sat in the shadow of the power of that courtroom and the judge, knowing that this situation wasn't good and that we couldn't control the result and the outcome would not be easy no matter what would happen. All the wood paneling and the microphones and the elevated seat where the judge sat, they were all signs of power and they were all daunting. Power, which is the theme of part of our passage this morning that we'll work our way around to, is a strange thing. It can feel good to have it. It's hard not to use it when we have it. And as morning dawned on this day, we know as Resurrection Day, some women and some disciples confronted a display of power that they never could have expected. They thought they had seen power just a few days before, the power of the temple, the power of just a corner of the Roman Empire's might. But their rabbi had displayed power too. He had displayed the incredible power in his restraint when he faced the violent power of that empire and the authorities. But they staggered upon a situation this morning, that morning, in which they came to understand that their God had the power to do something totally unexpected in their midst. Totally beyond the kinds of power they had seen previously, their God had risen from the dead. And it was glorious, but it was also confusing and unsettling. Everything had gone wrong, but then everything was completely confusing again in a good way. I always try to imagine on this morning when I wake up on Easter morning, just the bewilderment and exhaustion of the people going to the tomb and running from it, how emotionally and physically worn out they must have been. If you didn't notice this morning, we chose kind of a weird Bible passage for Easter Sunday. Usually on this Sunday, you'd read one of the gospel accounts of the resurrection, of what happened at the tomb. But we chose to focus on something else this year. We've been reading through the Gospel of Luke, and the Gospel of Luke is full of twists and turns. And so I thought it might be fitting to do something a little unexpected on Easter morning, the morning where everything that happens is unexpected. We chose a passage from Ephesians. And we chose it because it points to the incredible power of God that we see today, and it has some incredible images for what's going on today in this room. In Ephesians 1, the Apostle Paul is trying to show a small, fledgling church community, a church plant, if you will, an early church plant, that they are all caught up, Jews and Greeks, men and women, in a huge plan of God's. God has just completed the middle act of an incredible play in which he intends not to just save us from our sins, but to rescue the entire world and all of creation from all of its broken ways and the ways that we have actively broken it. The resurrection isn't the final act. It is the incredible act that points to the final act of what God will do. And the way Paul describes this is using language of a great inheritance in verse 14. Paul wanted to know that the Ephesians are the beneficiaries, the inheritors of everything that God has promised throughout the ages that will come. When Jesus emerges from that tomb, it is a signal that one day all death and all suffering and all violence and all hopelessness will finally be defeated decisively by the love of God. Alleluia. Alleluia. The way Paul describes this is that we are due for a massive inheritance. Now, that's a weird idea for us maybe a little bit. We tend to think of an inheritance in our world as something you kind of get all at once. Money, property, etc., stuff maybe. Someone writes a will and eventually those things are handed over. One day you don't have it and then you do. But that's not how inheritances tended to work in the ancient world, the one that Paul is writing about. People rarely got a lump sum of stuff or money. Usually if someone died and you inherited something, it involved land. You tended to receive something that wasn't a one-time thing. It had to be cultivated and developed. It took time and effort and investment and sweat. You received something that had to be stewarded, often for years, before it showed any real reward. It's a gradual kind of inheritance that Paul is speaking about. So what happens on Easter morning, at least how Paul thinks about it, is that God is signaling to us that we have been invited into a kind of adventure that has to be pursued. This isn't just a day. It's not like a ticket that gets us into the movie theater or into heaven. It's an event that points to something much, much bigger and more interesting. And we are going to have to play a part in what is happening for the time being until that inheritance comes in full, when God chooses to finish and complete the work of this day. Now, the other thing about the ancient world was that it was not uncommon that when you were going to receive a piece of business or an inheritance, you often received a deposit in advance, sort of like a down payment. Usually, this deposit was in the amount of, say, 10% of the total value. It was a way of guaranteeing that the other person that had made the promise would follow through on what they were going to do. You might have to wait a while, but things were going to come through. Eventually, it would be wrapped up. Patience was involved. But you could take comfort in knowing that it would all come together in the end. So in Ephesians 1, Paul is explaining the resurrection of Jesus is just a deposit on an inheritance that is to come. It is a sign and a seal that God intends to do even greater things. God gives us hope on this day that death is not the final answer. But God is also telling us much, much greater parts of the story are still to come. As great as it is today, we ain't seen nothing yet. Amen? The whole world is to be restored. The injustices and wounds are going to be undone. Everything is going to be set right one day. It isn't all about the resurrection today. It is about what the resurrection points to that God will follow through and do. So when we think about the resurrection of Jesus, amazing as though it is, friends, on this day, it is the deposit that guarantees that God intends to follow through on his work in incredible fashion. Now, the deposit has kind of two parts, the way that Paul thinks about it. The first is the resurrection itself that we've been hearing about. But the second is that God has given us his Holy Spirit. Listen to what Paul says. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. In other words, on this day, it isn't just that Jesus has been raised from the dead, but that God has sent his Holy Spirit to fill every human being that chooses to follow Christ. We celebrate the resurrection today, but we also celebrate that Jesus is amongst us right now in this room through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is often present in this room and gives us confidence in God, that God will finish what he started. Now, Paul's excited, if you didn't catch it in this passage. He loves these people that he's writing to in Ephesus. They're going to inherit this incredible deposit, and he's thankful for them. He's so thankful for them, and he prays for them in this little tiny church because he wants them to know and fully understand what it is that they're receiving on this day, or what we receive on this day. He is so delighted that they have come to believe in the goodness of God, that they have come to believe that Jesus really is who he says he is. He is God. And Paul prays that they might receive this Spirit that has come into the world. And he prays that the eyes of their hearts might be able to see this incredible inheritance. And most importantly, he prays that they might really come to know, and this is the focus of our sermon this morning, that they might really come to know the power that they are encountering. Paul believes that this Holy Spirit that they have received has the same power, you heard it right in the passage, that raised Jesus from the dead. In other words, on this day, not only is Jesus out of the tomb, not only has he conquered death, but the same power that did all of that is extended to us this day. That power that raised Jesus from the dead, that Holy Spirit power, is present for all of us who would seek to follow Christ. What does that mean for us? Can we see this power? Can we feel it? How do we know that this resurrection power is amongst us and in our midst? I'm still figuring that out as a pastor, but I think I've come to understand a little bit about what Paul believed and what Paul witnessed. All I can tell you is that when I started to trust God, when I started to believe that Jesus really was Lord, when I started to believe that maybe there was more to this life than what I'd achieved or what I'd learned or what I earned, which mattered a great deal in the community I grew up in, I started to sense that maybe it wasn't just that Jesus was resurrected today, but that I too was caught up in a story that God was telling that was much, much bigger than all of that, and even maybe Easter itself, a story that had the power to pull me out of all kinds of tombs that this world wanted me to stay in. This is the kind of story today that can deliver us. This is the kind of power that can deliver us in our world, that can remind us when our relatives are sick or dying or struggling, that there is still hope. That when there is violence in this world and injustice, or even in our own households, that it will not always be this way. That there is an option for us, a calling indeed, to live a bit differently in terms of our work and our money and raising our children and in terms of how we treat our neighbor. And this is this glorious world that God has given us to. That resurrection power can enable us to live this life of ours in a resurrected way, as though that resurrection is true, because it is. You see, that same power that caused Jesus to wake up with a start, the same power that caused Mary and the others to run back and forth to the tomb, is here in this room this day for you and I. This is not a one-time sort of event or thing that happened in the past that we just celebrate once a year. At least it isn't for Paul. It is an active and living power that is amongst us. And I know that that might sound silly or audacious or maybe rah-rah to some of you. How can Paul believe that such a power is real for us or for the Ephesians? How can he say, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance. How can he believe that this Christ is above every power and dominion and authority in this age and the age to come? How can Paul trust such a thing and declare this to this little nothing church in Ephesus? If you remember, Paul wasn't a witness to the resurrection, but he hung out with people who were, and they saw and they swore it was true. And then Paul saw this power when it captured his heart one day on the road to Damascus. This strange power that raised Jesus from the dead was the same power that carried him through a shipwreck. And as God would have it, landed him on an island of what they called unusual kindness. Funny how that happens. This is the same power that caused a jail cell to open. The same power that gave him confidence that Jews and Greeks and men and women could be friends united by Jesus Christ in that church. Paul had seen the powerful signs of the resurrection and what they pointed to. That same power allowed Paul to rejoice in his sufferings and in his ministry. Paul saw this power. And I have come to believe this same power that pulls Jesus from the tomb today. I have seen this power, this Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, hold this community and other communities together through difficult seasons. It was this same power that Paul saw that has carried me through all kinds of losses, homes, family members, all kinds of ups and downs in my personal life, professional life. And I have sat in ministry long enough to stand in awe of the miracles that are in this room that are uncommon and those that are common. I have seen people who, because of the resurrection story and its power, welcome their transition to the life that is to come with open arms and joy. And I have seen people who are able to pass and press on in kindness and mercy and generosity and forgiveness, even when life has handed them incredible difficulty and options for all kinds of bitterness in the midst of tragedy. And I have seen the power of the resurrection and the Spirit, and that same Spirit when some people in this room simply fight the good fight and get up out of bed and go to work to each day to support their families and those that they love. I have seen the resources and people in this church multiplied at key moments and in eerie ways, and I have seen the power of God in ordinary day-to-day diligence of people who simply press on, even though they carry incredible burdens, sometimes in their very bodies. And it has happened often enough that I have come to believe, despite the skepticism of my younger years, that the Apostle Paul is right when he says that the events of this day are just a deposit on what God has promised he will do one day. We have people in our midst right here that step out of tombs every day, that are drawn out of those tombs by this power. And so we should not be surprised this day when Paul, who helped found a little church in Ephesus with Priscilla and Aquila, would have the audacity to believe that it could thrive in a city like Ephesus. And it did. A powerful city of 250,000 people, a powerful city that did not welcome Paul and his religion and the gospel. We shouldn't be surprised that though he was confronted with an entire city that had plumbing and mosaics and paved roads and a massive amphitheater and all kinds of corruption and wealth and everything else, that Paul would trust that good things would come because he knew the power that was behind him. Paul knew a power greater than all of that in that city, a power that could grow a small church in a big port city and turn it into a community of people who could take the deposit on that inheritance they'd received, and they could turn around and bless their city and bless the people around them with love, hope, peace, and joy. And of course, Paul believed that could happen because he had seen that power, and he prayed that they would believe it too, that they would know that same power, and our prayer would be that we would know that same power in this place. Friends, that same power is here for us too, calling us out of the tombs this morning, and one day calling this entire world forth. Easter, Resurrection Day, does not end today if we believe what the Apostle Paul tells us. The power that we see on display here today stands ready to greet us on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and every other day of the week. A power to walk with love and dignity in spite of it all every day. A power to live the way of love even when this world does not understand it or welcome it, but one day it will. That is the power of Easter. It is not a one-off event, but the opening act in a play that we are delightfully invited to be a part of. We have an inheritance that needs to be tended and developed and stewarded. And so this morning, may you have the audacity to believe as Paul did, as the Ephesians did, as the disciples and the men and women came to believe, that the same power that was on display, that resurrected Jesus and defied an entire empire in its way of doing things, that same power is here amongst us every day, even now. And may we know that hope to which he has called us. It is a glorious inheritance. And as Paul says, it is a glorious and incomparable inheritance to those who would believe it. And so may you be blessed with that belief every day of your life. May you tend this inheritance that has been offered to you. And may your world and your neighbor be blessed because you do it, because you have come to know this power on display this morning. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.